Was it off? Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you. Oh, man. I really tried to bribe Mr. Edgar, but he said he answers to a higher power, so he wasn't very helpful. So, all right. Now I have to watch what I say. So, let's be aware of Satan's strategy. Let's be aware of what he wants. And let's be aware of what God wants. If any of you probably definitely remember the new or semi-old saying, "Oh, that's so bad." Do any of you remember that? Now, have any of you ever said that? Come on, admit it. I have a couple times before I caught myself, but nobody else has said that? Or bad, meaning it's good. Come on, let's see some honest folks out there. Yeah, there's one, two honest folks, three. Okay, we got three honest folks. What's the newest thing? I heard someone tell me it's now sick. It's sick. Or is there another one? It's wicked cool. Is that one? Is that a thing? Oh, I got it right. Wow. Semi-guessing. But is that what God wants us to say? Should we call what is bad good and what is good bad? Or will that not affect our thinking? I'm open to any comments and feedback here. Okay? So, when we see a woman, when we see a woman or a man or a child, what do we need to look for in them? What would God look for in them? Their inner person. Are they beautiful on the inside? I mean, I've met some really beautiful women in India. Wow, I tell you what. I always kid Benoit, I say, "Honey, you picked me? You could have gotten one of these beautiful Indian women." And he hates it when I say it. He says, "Be quiet. Don't say that. I don't like that. That's not true." But the Indian women are very beautiful. They have that nice brown skin and beautiful black hair. I used to wish I had black hair when I was a kid. I had a Chinese friend and I just loved her black hair. But, you know, there are a lot of beautiful women out there. But when you get to know some of these women, you can immediately see that they're really quite ugly. They are telling their husbands what to do. I'm talking about in India. They're telling their husbands what to do. They're whining about going and buying the newest jewelry. They're letting their kids do whatever they want and pursuing their own interests. And the things that come out of their mouth are just complaints and murmurings, and they completely change. Because it's what's inside that really matters. But then you see somebody who's like pretty normal, you know, whatever that word means. It's just, I mean, pleasant looking, but nothing to draw your attention right away to them, you know. And then you get to spend time with them. And you see great qualities in them. And you see how they love God and they serve Him. And truly, it changes your viewpoint, and you say, "Wow, she's really a beautiful lady." I'm not saying that we can't take care of ourselves, or that we should look our worst, or that we should, you know, try and make ourselves all crumpled up. And I'm saying that it's what's inside that comes out that makes a person beautiful or not. Let's look at. I want to challenge your thinking in some things. What do we think of when we think of Queen Esther? I used to teach Esther in my girls' Bible club in Ghana. I really loved teaching through the book of Esther. It was just so many things you just don't think about when you're reading through it real quick in your Bible reading. But what do we think about when we read Esther? What do we think made her stand out? Great. Do you have a verse? Can you find that verse? Shows that? It's in Esther. Why do you think that? I admit to you, I used to think that Esther must have been the most beautiful woman in the whole world, and that she won the competition, the beauty pageant, based upon her looks. I admit that. That's what I thought. And when I saw that movie, One Night with the King, have any of you seen that? I thought, she's not really, she's okay, she looks nice, but she's not really the top model that I imagined her as. And that's wrong. That is totally wrong. The scriptures never say that she was the most beautiful woman in the whole world. We just think that. It says she was beautiful of form and face, but what about all the other women? Why did she get picked out of all those thousands of women? Well, we can see from her how she behaved with her cousin Mordecai. What does it say about her? Let's look at. Oh, there we go. All right. Esther. Chapter 2:20. Could somebody read that, please? What does Esther 2:20 say? Yep, go ahead, Elise. Thank you. Wow. Even though she was not with her adopted dad, she still did what he had told her. Can we say the same for ourselves? It's so easy to obey when you've got somebody right there, standing there and saying, did you do this, did you do that? But it's much harder when nobody's around watching, or when you don't have your father around. Will we obey when there's no one there making us obey? Will we submit or follow God when there's nobody else around? I tell you what, I used to think that, oh yeah, I definitely will. When we went to India, and when I got out from under my father's house, and it was Benoy and I, and we were newlyweds, and moved to India, and there's nobody else around, I found out how hard it is. How hard it is to do your Bible reading every single day. How hard it is to do your memory work every single day. How hard it is to keep a spiritual focus and a mindset and not get sidetracked with the beautiful Indian clothes or the beautiful Indian jewelry or what's the next and latest fashion there in India. It's hard. It's not that easy. But we can do it. Some more water. And that's a good point. I like that. Because Esther didn't say, no, I'm not going to go. There's no way, no how, I'm not going. Did she say that? Or did she just point out something that might die if I do this? And then when Mordecai told her, well, you might die if you don't do it. So what did she say? If I perish, I perish. So be it. So be God's will. I'll do it. Did that come automatically? Did that obedience and that resignation to do God's will, even in the face of death, did that come right then? Or is that something she learned and she practiced when it was easy? It started with small things. When her cousin Mordecai told her, go clean up your room. It is messy. Go clean it up right now. I don't know. When she was young, she probably said, I don't want to. No, I want to play. Who knows what he did? Maybe he spanked her. Maybe he, I don't know what they did back then, but from Proverbs, it seems like he might have spanked her. But she had to learn then how to submit when it's hard. She had to learn how to submit and obey even in the easy things. That's the only way she could have, in the prospect of death, said, I'll still do it. I encourage you all, especially to you younger women who are either still under your father's house or who, you know, are on your own, to submit yourselves now. To find someone, a spiritual father. Best thing would be your own father. But if for sad reasons he's not your spiritual leader, find a spiritual man who you can submit to. Because it's not going to get easier when things get harder to submit. It's going to get harder. But if you have that habit of obedience and submission, you'll be able to do it. I was not the most submissive person. I can tell you that. And my mom could tell you that. And my dad. And anybody who knew me when I was a kid. I got lots and lots of spankings and reprimands and speeches and all those fun things, porch talks, as we used to say. Our dad, we have a porch on our house in Ghana, and Dad would say, it's time for a porch talk. You get that sinking feeling. Have you ever had that? Brittany? Lots? Melissa, did you have any? Yeah? Porch talks. Those are fun. I had lots of those, and I can look at my daughter and things that I tell her to do. I can see the same struggles that I had just a few years ago. And I still have some struggles at times. I'm not gonna say that I never struggle being submissive. I'm saying that I'm learning, that we all should learn when it's easy. You know, if your husband wants to go to McDonald's for lunch and you want to go to Burger King, that's probably one of the easiest times to learn to submit. I don't like McDonald's at all, but we go there a lot when we're on the road. But that's one of the easiest times to learn to submit. But then when your husband says, okay, we're moving to Timbuktu. That's when it's hard to submit. But if we haven't practiced it when it's easy, there's no way we're going to submit to our husbands. And there's no way we're going to be pleasing in God's eyes. Let me get some water. My encouragement is to learn now, to practice when it's easy. It might seem harder, but it's easier. To do your Bible reading and your prayer time right now, consistently. It's not going to get easier when you have kids. I can guarantee you. Leanne, is it easier now to find time to do your Bible reading or before you were married, had kids? Exactly, it is. I used to never believe my parents. Oh, things are only going to get harder and busier in your life. They're never going to get easier and slower. I never used to believe them till I found out the hard way. But it is easier now, so use this time to build those habits that will save you. When your kids are all running around and you got clothes to wash and you got food to cook and you got a house to clean and you've got a meal to prepare for your husband who's coming home in an hour, it'll be easier to do it in the midst of that if you've done it when you have all the free time on your hands. But if you don't do it now, you will not do it when you're married. You will not do it when you have children. And you will not be able to grow, push forward. And you will not be able to teach your children. So I encourage all of you single ladies, all of you teenagers, to practice now. Build those habits. You can do it. Back to my example, I got spankings when I was 13. And one day I got 3 spankings. You know, when I was 15, I got my last spanking, thankfully. I might have needed more after that, but that was my last one. But I praise God that my parents persevered with me. They never gave up. They kept on teaching me. They kept on spanking me, disciplining me in love. It is loving to take a spoon or take your hand and give a swat to your child. It is love, the most loving thing you can do. And afterwards, to tell them you forgive them, to tell them you love them, and you want them to go to heaven. And I praise God my parents did that with me. I thank God so much. So, we talked about where's true beauty? Where's true beauty? On the inside. What is love? Sacrifice. It's a choice. It is a choice that when you don't feel like doing something that you know is right to do, you're going to do it anyways. It is a choice. Oh, this is weird. I'd like to just read this quote from Walter Scott. How many of you know Walter Scott? A lot of us. Good. He said in his book, The Evangelist, thinking how strange, yet how admirable, how truly admirable it is that you possess the power of self-improvement, the power of adorning yourselves with the highest loveliness, meekness, quietude, peacefulness, purity, resignation, cheerfulness, fidelity, love, goodness, every ornament, grace, and virtue. We possess the ability to be excellent women. We possess the ability to be beautiful to Christ. Are we harnessing that? Those in the world cannot. They possess it all right, but they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't have the knowledge of God's Word to harness that, to develop that, that excellence, that beauty from within. We do. Those of us who know the Word, those of us who have the Holy Spirit, we do. So let's do it. What about Ruth? She had a book of the Bible named after her. Does it mention in the whole book of Ruth what she looked like? Has anybody read the book of Ruth? Anybody else? As women, we should definitely read those books that are named after women. I've never found it. Have you? Never once in the book of Ruth does it mention what she looked like. We don't know if she had black hair, if she had brown hair, if she had orange hair, if she had blue hair. We have no idea. But it mentions that she was a woman of excellence. Why? Why does it mention that? Let's look at that verse. Ruth 1. No, let's go over to Ruth 3, verse 11. Somebody read that fast. Anybody? Ruth chapter 3, verse 11. Okay?
And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know you are a virtuous woman.
Virtuous woman. From New American Standard, I believe it says a woman of excellence. Is that what? Does anybody have a New American Standard version? Woman of excellence. Virtuous. How did he know that? 2:11 says, okay, 2:17, Ruth 1:16-17, her loyalty and commitment. Ruth 2:17 talks about her hardworking attitude, her diligence. how she worked out in the field all day to get food for her and her mother-in-law. She was called a woman of excellence, not because of what she looked like, but because of what she did. Do you really, really want to be a woman of excellence? Please raise your hand. Who wants to be a woman of excellence? Beep. I do. So if I do, should I spend 99% of my time on buying the nicest, most recent designer clothing and keeping up with fashion that's out there? Or should I apply myself to studying and memorizing God's Word and to helping other people and doing good deeds? There's a song that I heard on this kid's toy, and it just played over and over in my mind. Get that out of my mind. How many of you have songs sometimes in your mind that you just, oh, yeah? I don't know if anybody knows this, if they could tell me the words, but the only words I heard is, girls just want to have fun. Who knows that song? Who wrote that song? Anybody know? Cindy, huh? Cindy Lauper. Who knows the words of that song? Huh? Can somebody sing it for me? Anybody out there bold and brave to do it? Huh? I'm not a good singer. I would sing it. Rachel, do you know that song? Oh. Well, the words go, girls just want to have fun. What are the rest of the words say? Because girls just want to have fun. Something like that. Is that true? Is that what we should really want to do, is have fun? I know a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old girl, that's what they want to do. But should a 25-year-old girl have that as her main priority? Or a 15-year-old girl? No way. No way. I mean, playing a board game is fun, and having that laughing and that time with your friends, it's fun. And it's not wrong to have fun. But is that what you should just want to do all the time? Is that what your focus should be? What greater satisfaction do you have when you write a card to someone to get well and it brightens their day? Or when you help your mom out by doing all the laundry before she gets home and fold those clothes and she comes home and, wow, thanks. The satisfaction of doing a good deed cannot be even compared to having fun. So is that something that's from Satan or from God? Exactly. That's a good point. That is a good point. And Mr. Hartman brought that out. It's all in your attitude. You can have fun while folding clothes. You can have fun while writing a note and cheering someone up. It's a greater satisfaction. It's a greater, greater fun. But my point is that the mentality nowadays, not just in America, but all over the world, is that we need to seek for fun. We need to seek for things that entertain us, and that there is no fun in sweeping a dirty floor. That is just drudgery, and that is just boring. But it is. And as women, we need to realize that and not agree with the world. It is fun to cook a good meal for your husband and see him come home and say, wow, thanks, honey. This is delicious. It is fun to read a story to your kids that you've read for the thousandth time and see their faces light up as you read it. It is fun. It is fun to do God's work. It is fun to follow God's plan. It is not fun to follow the world. It is not fun to follow Satan. I truly praise God for my parents, and I'm going back to their example, but when we were growing up, they always made following God fun. They always made it fun. They always changed our attitude. We get to go to assembly today. We get to sing to God. We loved to have devotions and discuss about the Bible. We loved to help them and work together as a team. Because we were taught to. So I praise God for their focus. I want to read just a little. I know this is probably scattered because, well, I had a day and a half to prepare and I had a lot of thoughts. And so I hope it's encouraging to you. And I hope if you get one thing out of this, that then my whole talk has been worth it. Here's a story that's really neat. I really liked it. But it illustrates about the importance of doing good deeds and of kind deeds and where our focus should be. In a certain school, a question arose among some girls as to who had the most beautiful hands. The teacher listened to the girls thoughtfully. They compared hands and shared secrets of keeping them pretty. I'm going to pick on Brittany, but Brittany said that a girl could not keep a perfect hand and wash dishes or sweep. Rachel spoke of the evil effects of cold and wind and too much sunshine. Jessica, which is my sister, I'm just using names, told about her favorite cream and lotion that really made her hands soft. Alyssa spoke of proper manicuring. At last, the teacher spoke. To my mind, Anastasia has the most beautiful hands of any girl in the school. She said quietly, Anastasia? Exclaimed Brittany in amazement. Why, her hands are rough and red and look as if she took no care of them. I never thought of them as beautiful. The teacher then said, I have seen those hands carrying food to the sick, soothing the brow of the aged. She is her widowed mother's main help. She carries the wood and water, yes, and washes dishes morning and night, that her mother may be saved the hard work. I have never known her to be too tired to speak kindly to her little sister and help her in her play. I have found those busy hands helping her brother with his kite. I tell you, I think they are the most beautiful hands I have ever seen, for they are always busy helping somewhere. This made a big impact on me when I read it when I was younger, because it pointed out the importance of what we do and not what we look like. And I hope that it encourages you as well. I also want to, just for those who are mothers, I want to just encourage you about training your children and being aware of Satan's strategies and not allowing him to take one foothold in your children's lives. And the only way we can do that is if we are in the Word and we know the Word. And the only way we can know the Word is by studying it, memorizing it, reading it. Because there are a lot of schemes out there that Satan is trying. I just gave you an example from my children. That's where I have my examples from. But Anastasia knows this story. And we've been traveling around. And one dear friend's house, they were given a cartoon, which was, you know, seemed so innocent and funny, and it was. Have any of you ever heard of Richard Scarry? Richard Scarry's Busy People, the little book that we used to read when we were little. Those little worms with hats and shoes. And have any of you heard of that? It was a cartoon about Richard Scarry, and on it, the first story was these kids were all in school, and the teacher said, today we're going to talk about what you want to do when you grow up. What do you want to be? And so the kids went on break time, and they're supposed to imagine and think and come back with some input. And all the kids are out there, girls and boys. What do you want to be when you grow up? And they see a postman go by. I want to be a postman when I grow up. And they imagine it and show it in the cartoon. The next person, the next girl says, I want to be a baker when I grow up. And they see a bread truck go by and imagine how it would be. And And there's a baker, there's a postman, there's a electrician, I believe, there's a fireman. And all these girls and boys are just picking different things they want to be when they grow up. Never once did any of those children say, I want to be a mother when I grow up. I want to be a wife when I grow up. I want to be a father when I grow up. I want to be a preacher when I grow up. And I was just kind of, wondering about Anastasia's response to this. I'm just cautious because anytime I let my kids watch something, I am there with them first. I've either previewed it or if it's like a cartoon, which it didn't seem like there'd be anything wrong with it, I'll watch it with them. And I'll either turn it off or I'll, you know, fast forward or I'll say something. But the second time Anastasia watched this, I was watching her reaction, and she said, that's what I want to be when I grow up. I believe it was a postman. That's what I want to be when I grow up. And I knew it was coming, so I said, no, that's not what you want to be when you grow up. You want to be a wife, and you want to be a godly mother, because that's what God wants you to be. That's the greatest thing you could ever be. There are a lot of postmen. There are a lot of firemen. There are a lot of, you name it, in the world. There is a great, great shortage of godly mothers and godly wives. So she said, no, that's what I want to be. And so we had a talk, and later on, she's hiding. And another day, when we were in the car, she asked Isaiah, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I was there, like usual, and I said, oh, Isaiah wants to be a preacher. He wants to be a great father and a great husband. Because that's the greatest thing he could ever be. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being a postman or a fireman or anything like that. But I want my kids to go for the best. To go for the highest aspiration that they can. But if I wasn't there, would I have been able to catch that? If I just, okay, let's put the TV on and let you guys watch it. If I used the TV as a babysitter, would I have caught that and been able to right then take that seed and throw it away before it's implanted in my child's mind? There is a lot more to training our children up in the ways of the Lord than just making sure that they are healthy, that they are well-clothed, that they are safe. There's a lot more. It is hard, hard work. It is diligent work. That's why it's such a noble calling. I was out with the kids just on Friday, just family camp starting, and they're sliding and swinging and meeting new kids. And within that hour, there were three major issues that I had to deal with. First one was Hadassah didn't want to share the swing. She didn't want to share. She screamed. She did not want to share. So I had to teach her to take her turn to share with Hannah, her cousin. Isaiah pushed another boy on the swing so he could go faster. And that little boy didn't want to be pushed. So he told him, leave him alone. And Isaiah took this to heart and was sitting over there in the corner, pouting, sulking, sad. So I talked to him. Isaiah, if he doesn't want you to push him, you can't push him. It's not that he doesn't want you to be his friend. So he changed his attitude and went back and played. Little misunderstanding he had. Anastasia didn't want to play with one of the little boys there. And she told him, please don't follow me. Don't talk to me. And I love my daughter. She's just wonderful, wonderful daughter. But she's still growing and learning. So I took her aside. Anastasia, that's not how we talk to people. We had just talked in the car on the way coming because we knew we were meeting a lot of people about being friends with everyone, being kind to everyone, not picking one friend and leaving the others out. So we had another talk and several more. But if I wasn't there, would I have seen that? is it easy to be a mother? Is it, okay, my kids, you know, they have clean clothes, they ate their food, I can leave them to go play and do whatever they want? Or is it the training of their character in all these little real-life instances that builds them up and teaches them to be who God wants them to be, to have His character? What are the character traits we learn about in the school? Being kind, resourceful, being responsible, being diligent, being determined. What are some other ones? Being committed, consistent, self-controlled. What are some other ones? Appreciative, attentive. What else? Submissive. What else? Flexible. Oh, that's a hard one for me. What else? Perseverant. How many of you have gone to AC school? What are some other ones? Observant. Optimistic. Flexible. Who best to teach your children those character traits than those who know them best? I'm not saying that others can't help you in your task as mothers. I'm saying that it is a big job. Alyssa, is he going to be done eating soon? You think so? Are there any other cute babies here? Any other cute babies? I need him. I need somebody. There's one back there. Hey, there's one. One that won't come screaming when I pick him up. Will he scream? Hi there. Oh, you're so cute. Hi there. Will you be my friend? Oh, look at those chubby cheeks, those chubby legs. Who thinks this baby's cute? I do. Hi there. Who wants one of these? Come on, who wants one of these babies? Who wants a baby? You can kiss and hug and hold. Who realizes the big responsibility is? Good. It is. It is a big responsibility, and it is not something that disappears when they're married and out of the house or when they're on their own. It is a diligent, consistent, long-term project. Hi. But it is so rewarding. Those of you who are mothers, keep being diligent with your children. Keep watching whatever goes into their mind. Keep forming their viewpoint from God's perspective and not from the world's. And those of you who want to be mothers or who are married and going to be mothers, be in the Word. Know what the Scriptures say. Be aware of Satan's schemes. Be alert. Be diligent with your own lives so that you can train up an Esther or a Ruth or a Sarah or an Abraham for God. Okay, I'm back. Thank you. What's his name? Caleb. Bye, Caleb. So cute. I just have one more analogy. Lovely. I asked the perfect people to help me with this. I asked Kelton and Ryan. Ryan Compton, Kelton Baker. Could you please get this shirt as dirty as possible? Yeah! They were excited. Would you want to put this on? Here, Leanne. I know it's a little small, but would you want to put it on? Where it shakes up on the floor. When we choose to follow the world, when we choose to follow Satan, it's like putting this on in God's eyes. But when we choose to take the world, take Satan's strategy and just throw it out the door, we are putting on a bright and beautiful gown in God's eyes. In the world's eyes, that's what's beautiful. Oh, that's beautiful to the world. That's not what should be beautiful to us. I encourage you, women, to see through God's perspective, to do good deeds that are pleasing to God. When Esther asked a favor upon the queen, upon the king, King Ahasuerus, if he would come to a banquet, did he say, "No way"? Is that what he said? When she came to him, he said, "Ask for whatever you want. I'll give it to you." Why? Because she was the fairest lady in the land? Or because she was a submissive wife? Because he knew her character and her qualities. The guy who was in charge of the harem, what was his name, Haggai, gave her whatever she wanted. What about the example of, we see from God? If we are pleasing in his eyes, will he not answer our prayers? Will he not bless us and provide a way? He wants us to follow his will. He wants us to follow his pattern and his plan and his word. And if we do the things that are pleasing in his sight, we can ask anything, and he hears us. Okay? So, I encourage you, ladies. I encourage you all. Let's see from God's point of view. Let's see not as the world sees, not as Satan sees, not as he wants us to see. Let's see as God wants us to see. Let's see as God plans. We will be so blessed. It is so wonderful to be in line with God's will. It is so wonderful to be pleasing to God, to be striving to be like him, to be a woman of excellence. There is so much heartache in following your own path. There is so much heartache in following your own heart, as the world says, as Disney says. There is so much joy. Yes, there is challenge. The world might hate you, but there is so much joy in following God's pattern and plan.